Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to a live edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, as we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here located in South Alabama. So glad to have you on board with us this morning. I am Randy Bergen, joined by Coach Rick Cleveland. Our guest coach, Mark Laster, is floating on some water somewhere.
Good gracious, I hope he's floating.
Well, as Meatloaf would say, two out of three ain't bad. So you got two out of three today.
Yeah, Mark is, I think their coach is going on a fishing trip that a lot of coaches have done in the past, and Mark was really excited about it. I said, Mark, what are you most excited about? He said, I'm excited about catching fish and then getting my feet back on land. I'm not excited about cleaning the fish. I said, Mark, you probably won't have to clean your own fish.
Exactly.
He said, well, that'll be fine. I said, just bring us bring Randy and I one of those cellophane bags of fillets.
So are they going out?
They're going out.
Well, he won't have to touch a fish to clean it,
no,
I can promise
no,
you. So,
no.
Well,
no.
Good luck to them, and yeah. hope everything works out safe for them, for sure.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, we're right here. High school football is right here, and we've been waiting on it for quite some time now.
Yeah, Randy, this probably Thursday and Friday, teams went through their final scrimmages and kind of will be dress rehearsal week starting Monday. And you know, Randy, the thing that's changed since we knew football as it was, there's not nearly as much physicality with maybe one day, an exception of one day during the week, and it was usually Tuesday for most of us. And but now, yesterday, Friday night, you know, St. Michael's and Alma Bryant had a big scrimmage, and I know that Phillip Rivers and those guys are mighty happy with what they've got coming back after a good run in the state playoffs last year. And when you look at Alma Bryant, you know Bart Sessions is really just tried to lay the foundation for a really good football team. And so they had a scrimmage last night, didn't get a chance to talk to either one of them, but I will later today. And then everybody else kind of probably had a scrimmage Thursday. I think Chase Smith up at Spanish Fort had a dress rehearsal scrimmage Thursday as they play on Thursday night this coming week as they open up against Fairhope up on the hill. So, yeah, pretty much everything's the hay's in the barn, so to speak, as far as preparations are concerned. And you know, that's where we are right now.
Well, and maybe throughout the show, maybe we can take a look at some of the upcoming games. We'll take a look at that schedule, see who's up next week. A lot of them be played, so maybe we can go through it. But let me go ahead and set the table for you on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line coming up in our next segment. One of our great friends, and I'll tell you, if you need motivating, this guy can do it. It's Southern FCA's Dennis Hayford. He's going to be on to talk about their upcoming fundraiser. And I'm telling you, we were at it last year, and Sandy Sansing was the premier speaker. And, Rick, I got to tell you, it was good.
It really was. And Sandy's got a great story to tell about his, you know, his journey and his Christian journey. And I'm telling you right now, if you had never heard Sandy Sansing speak, it'd be well worth your drive to hear him wherever he is.
Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk Spartans of Saraland football with Coach Jeff Kelly. I'll tell you, get ready. Saraland's going to be ready again.
Yeah, they're mighty good. Of course, their defensive coordinators moved over to UMS.
Right.
So
right.
So with Brent West moving over there, I'm sure Jeff and we'll talk a little bit about the change in coaches there. But they got a quarterback too. You know, KJ Lacy has gone to Texas. He's out with Sarkisian and those guys. And really, I heard his name mentioned the other day on a depth chart. So you know, you got a Manning. Arch Manning is their number one quarterback at Texas, and there's a lot of questions as to who is going to be the backup for Arch. KJ Lacy's name was thrown right in there with two other guys, so wow. You know, we'll ask Jeff about that too. But yeah, Saraland's loaded, and the new quarterback, Roberts, got a lot of snaps last year when KJ was either injured or just they wanted to get Roberts some snaps. But a lot of good things I've heard about Jamison Roberts, the quarterback at Saraland.
Yeah, no doubt. Of course, at 8:45, we'll have our leadership segment. Then in the second hour at 9:15, we'll talk with Ham Barnett. head football coach for St. Paul's. And I'm going to tell you, it's again, get ready. St. Paul's is going to be pretty spicy.
They're pretty spicy. They've got some new coaches on that staff, too. Jay Cozio has moved over from UMS to run the defense, which gives Ham a little bit more leeway to kind of manage all aspects of the team and the game. So I know that's a big help to Ham. And so it's going to be an interesting week. Of course, they've got a couple of really outstanding players. One just committed to Oregon, which was it's kind of unusual to me, but in today's world, in the changing world of college football, money plays such a big role. But I don't think that money played a huge role in this commitment from this outstanding St. Paul's player, and we'll talk to Ham about that a little bit.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap up the show. Well, at 9:30, we'll talk with Coach Zach Golson, the head football coach for the Vikings of Mary Montgomery.
Yeah, and that's another Prattville connection, Randy, and I know you're familiar with that, but there are a lot of really outstanding coaches that are now having a lot of success have been a part of that Prattville program during their heyday, and so Zach has certainly built a really outstanding program over at MGM. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, that 7A region with MGM in it, they've kind of had their way the last couple of years, and I wouldn't expect that to change.
Coach, we'll finish up the 2 hours at 9:45 with the Camp Grace segment. Give us a little tease on that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, the director of the facility at Camp Grace is a friend of ours. When you talk about a great place to have a wonderful outing, a Christ-centered outing, Garrett Humphrey is now the director of Camp Grace. Of course, he was our director of security at UMS for many years, and he's moved on to Camp Grace. And at some point in time, we're going to get we'll get him on, and we'll talk a little bit about what things that are going on at Camp Grace. Garrett's a great guy, and we certainly look forward to talking to him down the road.
Coach, we've only got about a minute and a half left in this segment right here, and lost some good ones this week.
Yeah, we sure did, Randy. It's been a week of great sadness in our community here in Daphne. Of course, everybody's read and knows what happened, but certainly hope that our listeners will keep the Smith family, all the extended family, mother and father, an 11-year-old and a 15-year-old child are no longer with us. And it's just a very tragic situation, and one that sometimes, you know, you just can't wrap your arms around, especially the loss of those two children. And certainly hope that all our listeners will keep that extended family in prayer.
Yeah, no doubt. Bobby Carr, let me just mention Bobby real quick.
Yeah, Bobby Carr got a phone call earlier this week. Has been a house fire, and his mom, unfortunately, was trying to get out the door. And when they found her, they found her right there at the door trying to get out. And it's been a tough week for Bobby. He's been in Pensacola most of the week. He's got a great staff at Prattville that's looking after things. But in a time like this, Bobby needs to be in Pensacola with his mom, and you know, with take care of all the things that need to be taken care of. Of course, Bobby lost his dad a couple of years ago, and to lose his mom and that way too has got to be really just a tough situation. Certainly, thinking about Bobby and his family is just, as this moves forward, we pray that God's grace will sustain him during this most difficult time.
Yeah, there's no doubt, no doubt. Look, as we go through this schedule, and we're going to hit this first week, as I guess they call week zero.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Do you like that? Do you like week zero?
No, I really don't.
Why do you say week zero?
Well, because they've added a date. So that way gives you, you know, you get a chance to have a week off during the year. A lot of coaches, I can remember David Cutcliffe wanted to play 10 straight games, wanted to, you know, have that first couple of weeks of the season. If you could get that first week and have it off, or the second week have it off, it was good. But now if you play 0-1, then you do get a week off somewhere,
right,
and you can pick where you want that. So that's you know, it's confusing to a lot of people. Week zero means nothing. Zero is nothing. But we got some really big games in week zero. The one that you and I will be doing, it's going to be a slobber knocker between Spanish Fort and Fairhope up on the hill. Tim Carter's got a really good football team coming back. Chase Smith's got a quarterback that's going to be something special. We want to see that. And there's a couple of other games we'll talk about that are going to kind of kick off our season.
Yeah, no doubt. 7A taking on 6A. Yeah. We'll talk about that game coming up. All right, we take our first time out. When we come back, we will visit with Mr. Dennis Hayford, the Southern FCA director. Boy, he's a good one. You won't want to miss it right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name, and we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Rick, we're going to say he's on assignment because he really is. All right, he's out trying to catch us some fish.
That's right.
All right, so it is kind of a little bit of an assignment. Hey, here's a guy that if they needed motivating going out there fishing, Rick, this would be the guy. On the dock, you put him on the dock before the boat goes out. I guarantee you they'd come back with a boatload of fish, all right?
I do not doubt that.
He's our good friend, Dennis Hafer of the Southern FCA. He is the multi-area director. Dennis, how you doing, my man?
Hey, good morning, Randy. Thanks for having me on.
Well, always excited to have you. And I don't know if you got to hear that intro or not, but and I say it every time you're on. You did not hear it. Okay. Well, you missed it. It was, you may want to go back a little bit later and hit the podcast on that because it was a pretty good intro for you, Dennis.
It was very kind to you, Dennis, unlike I was last time we had you on.
Yeah.
It was very kind.
Oh, my goodness.
I think Rick, you and Randy need a counseling appointment because
here we go.
It has begun. I'm not going to name any names, but one of y'all is upset that you didn't get the complimentary slot at the FCA golf tournament, and one of you did.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. I'll be very, very open about that, Dennis Hayford. It's me that's very upset. Mark Lassiter doesn't care. Randy's on the first tee, and I'm out in the yard cutting grass.
Well, let me just tell you, the first tee for us was a par three, and Dennis hit a beautiful shot. And what did I do? I duffed it right into the water right in front of us. A great first start, but we eventually came back around.
Yeah.
Couldn't make a putt, though. All right, Dennis, you got your fundraiser coming up. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited about Charlie Ward. We do a fundraiser banquet for FCA every fall, and this year we're having it on September 29th. It'll be at the Daphne Civic Center. That's a Monday night. Our banquet is from 6:30 to 8. We're always careful. I know fundraiser banquets can be all-night affairs, but not with FCA. We stick to a hour and a half time limit, and because we respect you guys' time, but we want the community to come and support FCA and hear an amazing testimony from Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward, when you talk about Charlie Ward, you're talking about a multi-sport, really all-American athlete, a point guard in basketball at Florida State University, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback as well. You're talking about
was drafted by the MLB twice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done it all.
He's a special, special player, and I look forward to hearing what he has to share with us. I really do.
Yeah, he's after his successful NBA career, he became a high school coach, coached high school football in the Florida Panhandle, coached high school basketball, and just recently received the head coaching position at Florida A&M University. So he's one of us and just a super godly guy. And I think it'll be an amazing night. Baumhauer's is our will provide the meal for us. We'll hear testimonies from our student FCA leaders, and there'll be people there. You know, this event just attracts the very best of Mobile and Baldwin County people, and it's just a fun night. There's a lot of fellowship that goes on before and after the event. So I hope you'll come.
Well, we certainly look forward to it, Dennis. And I think one of the things that, you know, the speaker, Randy and I were talking before the show, the job that Sandy Sansing did last year. And, you know, just what a motivator he is. And his story is one that is phenomenal and Christ-centered. And everything he does is based on principles of Christ. And that's it was uplifting, and I know that a lot of us got a whole lot out of that. And I can assure you that Charlie Ward's story, I can remember as a high school coach, him coming out of Thomasville, Georgia, and being just an outstanding athlete that many people in Georgia still say that he's one of the top five all-around athletes to ever come out of that state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, who gets drafted by the NBA, by the MLB, Major League Baseball,
yep,
and probably could have been drafted had he submitted himself by the NFL,
right,
after having won the Heisman.
If I'm not mistaken, and he played in the NBA. I thought he played for the Knicks. I probably should need to read that, look that up before I go any further.
He did.
He led us to
the playoffs 6 years in a
right.
row. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's special.
Well, and you know the weight of testimony that people have, the influence that they have after they've had success at the levels he's had, and to, you know, just to hear his testimony has got to be something that is uplifting to so many people. But the message that he brings, I'm sure, will be one that he would most certainly like for all of us to hear, and I certainly look forward to that. And thank you for getting him involved. Thank you for getting him involved. Tell us a little bit about how as school opens up, how FCA is filtrating into the schools and getting in and making a difference in those schools.
Well, we've got amazing, the real heroes of our ministry are our volunteer huddle leaders at our schools. You know, and as they come back in starting school, teachers and coaches are overwhelmed at the beginning. Last week was just, as school started last week, they are just covered up with, you know, new students, new protocols at school, all of that. And yet they find a way to carve out time to serve the Lord by leading their FCA on their campus. So, you know, schools are starting, kids are coming back to school, and they're getting, you know, refreshers in algebra and history and biology, but they're also getting refreshers in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because of these huddle leaders are starting their FCA meetings, you know, usually 30 minutes before school starts. And but it's pretty special what we get to do on high school and middle school campuses and college.
Absolutely, and Dan, do a wonderful job, no doubt. We're visiting with Dennis Hayford, the Southern Alabama FCA Multi-Area Director, talking about the 2025 Champions Banquet coming up in September. And let me go back to that for just a second. If folks want to either sponsor or be a part of it, how do they do that, Dennis?
Yeah, we would prefer people to go online, southalabamafca.org, and be a sponsor. You can be a gold sponsor, a platinum sponsor, or you can just sponsor a table, and then invite your friends. A table includes 8 seats for the evening. But then if you're just an individual, you can buy a single ticket on our site as well and just come and, enjoy the evening. SouthAlabamaFCA.org.
It is it's very special. I can promise you, you will enjoy it. You get a ton out of it, no doubt. All right, Dennis, we've got, and I would be remiss. We only got about a minute left here. I would be remiss if I did not ask you, how are you hitting that driver?
Thank you for your inquiry into my golf growth. It is a journey, Randy, and even with a super nice driver, it's me. It's not the driver. So while I'm glad to have a nice athletic instrument, I need some help. I need Rick Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Boy, you're a mess. You're a mess. Dennis, hey, thank you for hanging out with us, and we're looking forward to the 2025 Champions Banquet at Daphne. Thank you for hanging out with us, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Love y'all.
Thanks, Dennis. Right, blessings, buddy. Pal. Great guy.
That dude's the best. There's no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we talk high school football. We'll talk with Coach Jeff Kelly and the Spartans of Sarah Land right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Taking it to the streets. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach Mark Laster has the weekend off. And thank you for hanging out with us on a beautiful Saturday morning. Let us be a part of your day as we start high school football. Rick, it's in the air. We're less than a week away from the first game. And for these guys, the Spartans of Sarahland, they've got a big one coming up. Let's talk with Coach Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for the Sarahland Spartans. He's on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. Coach, good morning to you, sir, and thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having us. And it's getting close. It's time to go.
Oh, it's about time for Jeff to return to the pink dressing room. I know he's excited about that. He painted it pink for us when we were coming up to play him at Jackson, and now he gets to go in.
It wasn't exactly for y'all. We had a great sale at the hardware store. Pink is free.
Times were tight back then, Rick.
I used to love to sit back on the other side of the field and watch a reaction for the first time when somebody went in there.
It was awesome. I bet you did. The only thing that was missing then was Brett Boutwell wasn't with you at Jackson for y'all to sit there and really have a big laugh. That would have been fun. Well, I want to talk about after KJ. And the reason I want to ask is because I heard some really good things on a national sports show the other day. They were talking about Arch Manning at Texas, and they mentioned they don't know who the backup's going to be, and they threw KJ in there. Give us an update on him before we get into 2025.
Yeah, you know, everything I've heard and read and talked to and that kind of stuff, you know, really, you know, and KJ felt like it, you know, when I talked to him last week, he just felt like he has had a great camp. And, you know, it's the period from spring training to where they are right now, he feels a lot more comfortable. And, you know, the thing with him, if he gets comfortable and understands, you know, all the intricacies and the ins and outs of what they're doing, you know, he'll just be able to settle in and play and let his ability and his vision, his talent take over, and he'll do some great things. He's incredibly accurate, you know, throwing the football, throws a good ball there, and everything I've heard has been really positive. So, you know, I read an article where, you know, he may be the two. And so I don't know how it's going to shake out, but you know, it's great to hear him doing well.
Well, in the meantime, you certainly had a backup to him get a lot of snaps last year. And when you talk about somebody that's equally talented, maybe not equally as talented as KJ Lacy, and he may be. Nobody knows that but you and your coaches, but Jamison Roberts is in there, and I know you're excited to see how he goes from get to go.
You know, he did a great job last year of preparing like he was the starter, and when he got opportunities to play, he took advantage of that and really did a good job, you know, running our offense and, you know, delivering the ball on time and accurately and in the right, you know, making the right reads, putting it in the right places and that kind of thing. So, you know, I thought he showed a lot of maturity last year of really, you know, using that year to get better, and he was ready when his number was called. And he's going to get an opportunity, obviously, to be the guy, you know, week in and week out. He's had a great off season, you know, all the 7-on-7 stuff that we did this summer. I thought he managed that really well. And he's had a great camp. And, you know, so I'm excited for him. He's an extremely hard worker. It's really important to him to play well. He's very coachable. And he's got a ton of talent. You know, he can make all the throws. He can run with the football. You know, you can design some stuff with him, you know, in the run game that kind of, you know, opens up a lot of things in his, you know, abilities of what you can show a defense. So, you know, he's done all the things right to prepare and you know, so he's got some good guys around him. So I think he's primed up to have a really big year. And he's been a good leader for us, very, very level-headed and doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And I think a lot of people statewide are going to really know that name before the end of the year.
We're visiting with Coach Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for Saraland. Coach, let's continue talking a little bit about that offense. Let's talk a little bit about your wideouts, your backfield, and that offensive line a little bit. Who's going to be the person that we're going to be seeing a lot of?
Well, I think it starts with Deshaun Spencer. Deshaun Spencer's a longtime, you know, receiver for us. He's got a lot of versatility, can play all over the field, can play quarterback, can play, you know, has played tailback before, but he's a really, you know, really smart player, a dynamic receiver, committed to Duke. And he does a good job kind of leading that crew. I think, you know, we've got some other guys in there that are, you know, probably not a lot of people know about, you know, A.J. Martin, you know, Trey Turner, Larry Edwards, who started the second half of the season for us last year and made some big, big plays throughout the playoffs. And, you know, some new guys. So Larry Petway is a young receiver, and Eddie Turner is a young receiver that's going to be excellent players and get opportunities this year. And, you know, in the backfield, we've got several guys in there. P.J. Brown, who's done a good job, really kind of a, you know, quasi, you know, receiver, running back kind of guy, but can do a lot of good things, and he's got a home run burst to him. You know, we've got, you know, some players that's been with us a while that may, you know, spend some time on both sides of the ball at times in certain situations. And you know, Jakari Harris is one of our great linebackers in there that also can come over the offensive side and contribute in a good way. So, you know, we obviously had some guys graduate last year, and Sante and CD and all those guys that's been around a while. But I really like this group. And at wide receiver, we may be more complete than we were last year, you know, across the board. We may have a better group overall. You know, even though we lost some talented guys last year, I think the 4, 5, 6 guys that will play are ready to go have a big year. So they'll lead us offensively, you know, and so, you know, we look forward to that. We you know, obviously want to find some balance in there and be able to, you know, do the things we want to do when we want to do it. We want to be able to run it and be able to operate in the pass game and do those things when we want to do. So, we'll have a challenge coming out of the gate, playing a really good Jackson team, and they'll make things tough on a lot of people. And I think it'll be a great opener and a way that we can, you know, kind of see where we are going into the season.
when you talk about the offensive side of the ball, you've got to flip it over. You got a new defensive coordinator. Talk a little bit about the change. I don't think there'll be much change from what y'all have done in the past because you got a great system. And talk a little bit about the defensive coordinator change and also who's on that side of the ball that you kind of look to be the headhunters over there.
Yeah, you know, I really believe in what we do from top to bottom, both sides of the ball and special teams as well. Skyler Mosley is a guy that, you know, I've known, heck, for the last 10, 15 years when he come through as a player, was a great linebacker for us back in, 13 and 14, and went on to play in college. And really, you could tell even back then he was going to be one of those guys that have a chance to come back and coach and do some things. He loves the game, and he got back in it, after he got finished in college, and he's been with us for a while. He knows our system, and he's also put some wrinkles in there as well. And we were fortunate to hire a veteran coach in Ryan Little, who has been, a coordinator, or been a head coach, and has, done it at a high level and that kind of stuff. And he's coming in and assisting, defensively with Skyler and working within our secondary. And so those guys, along with our other coaches, have done a good job, putting our plan together and coaching our kids. And, I also bring in a level of energy and a level of intensity that a young coach ought to. And so he's gonna do awesome. I'm excited about that. He's gonna be one of the top young coaches in the state, and we got some good ones over there. But I think defensively, when you look at us, I think at linebacker we got a chance to be as good as we've been in a long, long time, maybe ever. We've got three guys that are returning. Starts inside with Ja'Cari Harris. He's I think going to be one of the top guys in the area, and had an outstanding year last year at linebacker. Yonde Pugh is also a returning, linebacker, an inside backer guy. He's got some opportunities to play in college. He's a really good player. Damari Ducklin is another, a senior, plays more on the edge, outside backer. But those three guys, I think you can put, against most anybody and have a great level of success. And, we've got several other guys that are all competing and playing at that fourth spot. And in the secondary, LaWardrick Jones is a really, really instinctive and talented corner. Tamadre Sewer, a veteran player over there that's been a player for a long time. So those five guys – are guys that we're going to lean on a ton. And we've got some other guys there that are making their first opportunities on the defensive side and are talented and are hungry. I think it's shaping up. We've got the potential to have a good unit there. I think you'll see a lot of, whether it's blitz, different change-ups, different things there. Those guys are really getting after it and doing a lot of good things.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you, it's going to be an exciting year. Everybody's ready for it. We've been pumping up for it, and it happens for you on Friday night there in Jackson. Best of luck. Thank you for taking time to be with us. Now, I know you're going to be back on with us throughout the season, but we'll be certainly keeping an eye on you for sure.
Hey, thank you guys for having us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you, pal. God bless. Randy, as we go out, I do want to mention this. We lost an outstanding football coach in Birmingham this past week, and want to remember him in our prayers. And I know that a lot of people know about that across the state, but when you lose a coach off the state championship staff, it's a tough one. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later on.
All right, we'll take a timeout. More right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland. And, Coach, I got to tell you, you got a little Boss Gags right there. What do you do? Do you punt or do you take a timeout here?
You know, Randy, I think we always take a timeout when Boss Gags is on because he gives us that reprieve. It's something we need in our life. And, you know, Randy, this leadership segment, of course, is brought to you by GoPass, which is one of the outlying parts of 68 Ventures. And think about those guys a lot and the job that those guys do there. And we certainly appreciate our relationship with Kim Garrett, who is one of the directors there. She's a director of a lot of things. I think she looks after marketing, communications, and things like that. But love to spend some time with her and just listening to her as she talks about challenges in life and challenges as a mom. And, you know, as we go into this football season, I've spent a lot of time this past week thinking about head football coaches and the responsibility that they have, Randy. And I know that if I were to ask you who was probably one of the most influential people in your life at some point in time, there was a head coach of a certain sport that you really meant a lot to you. And I thought about Kenny King the other day when we got the news of the tragedy here in Daphne and how he would handle that. And, you know, I think it's a tremendous opportunity for our head coaches. And I want to speak directly to and about our head coaches as we go forward. And I'm going to do that today in the Grace segment as well. But when you think about leadership, you think about the way you lead your life on and off the field, and the example that you set not only for your players, your community, the school that you represent, but that example that you set for your children in your own home, because that is something that is everlasting and something that will go forward with them each and every day of their life. I had a chance to watch Any Given Saturday on the SEC channel. I know it wasn't. It was on ESPN or Netflix, maybe. But I had a chance to watch all seven of those series, and I was really, really amazed at some of the things that I saw that coaches had going on. But the one that was most impressive to me was Shane Beamer at University of South Carolina. Relationship that he's got with his 11-year-old son and his two teenage daughters. The example that he sets for them is something that, like I said, will carry on for the rest of their life. But as I share this morning with head coaches across Mobile, Baldwin County, and in the Sylacauga and Talladega County area, I want you to understand that every decision you make, everything you do is going to be watched by your players. And, you know, it used to be high school football. You would hear coaches that might use some language that was not appropriate, just to be honest with you. And I think we've evolved now in high school sports where children, it's not acceptable to use profanity around children. And that's an outreach and a branch off of the tree of leadership. The way we speak to children, the way we communicate with children, there's no place for profanity there. There's just no place. And you can use the excuse that, you know, I want to get my point across. Well, there's a lot of ways to get our point across without using profanity. You know, we play golf with some people that use profanity, and it's not pleasant. And we're adults, and it's not pleasant. But at the same time, I want you to imagine, as the head coach, as the leader of your school, that example you set is something that they will forever remember you for. And 10 years, 20 years from now, when they go to their reunions, they will remember not only the things you do, but the things that you say. I think that's hugely important. Also, another aspect of leadership is I think we all need to do a better job in our handling of officials. And I think a strong leader, a capable leader, a leader that possesses those intangibles that help you lead others into the future, and that's what you're doing, helping them to become better husbands and fathers and mothers and wives, I think it's important. It's imperative. It's imperative that you as a staff discuss – and lead in how to treat our officials. Folks, we're in trouble with officials. We don't have enough. We're having some sports now that are having to play football games on Wednesday night throughout our nation and Thursday night, so they'll have enough officials for Friday night games. So we're asking officials to work three nights a week sometimes. Most of them are doing it on Thursday night, but there's a couple of places across our country there where we don't have enough officials to play Thursday and Friday night, so we have to play on Wednesday night, and that really cuts practice time down as well. So I hope you will address this as coaches. I hope you will talk about the way our players need to address officials. Little bitty things, like when there's a ball on the ground right by you, pick it up and give it to the official. When you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before. Hand that ball to the official. Get it to him as quick as you can. Those little things are big things to officials, and they mean that you have been taught how to do things the right way. Another aspect of leadership is the way you handle bad situations. And there's always going to be some situations that don't go your way in a football game or a volleyball game, or and how you handle that as a head coach and how you handle that adversity is so important. Because all eyes are on you as a head coach. And the way you handle your coaches when adversity sets in, you want to see those coaches keep a cool, calm, collective way. And I know that that's hard to do. When you got Daphne and Fairhope playing each other, or you got Sylacauga and B.B. Comer playing each other, or you got Prattville and Stanhope Elmore playing each other, you talking about intensity, those are intensity, the intensified moments. And when things happen that are adverse, then the way you handle them is a strong indication of the type of leader that you are as the head coach. It doesn't matter if it's football or volleyball. I've watched Ann Schilling for years. And when there's adversity, she kind of likes it, because her team grows from that adversity. One of the things that I've always admired about high school coaches is the things are the way they handle adversity and adverse situations. So coaches, I want you to understand, and I hope you understand this. Mark was here, it'd be 80 years of experience, 85, 86 years of experience in high school coaching. And believe me, I'm not saying that because I was that example, because I wasn't. I definitely was not. I wish I could go back and do it again, and if I could, it would be much more exemplary. I can promise you that. But these are things that I've learned in watching and listening and learning. There was a big deal this week. Hugh Freeze threw his visor down when quarterback made a mistake. Well, you know what? If that's the way he handles it, that's okay. But remember, every action you take is going to be watched by those players that you are there to set an example for. That's all I need to say. That's all I need to know, I guess. Have a great day. Randy Spitz.
Very good. Very good. All right, we'll take a time out. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
To you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Glad to have you on board with us. We are blowing. That first hour just blew through. And I expect this hour to do the same thing. It was great to have Coach Jeff Kelly on with us, the head football coach for the Spartans of Saraland. Boy, they've got a big one, Rick, coming up on Friday as they travel over to Jackson. And it was fun talking to him, Jeff, about that and what an experience it's going to be for him to be in that visitor's locker room.
I'm going to tell you, at Jackson, Jeff Kelly, having coached at Jackson, got still a lot of great relationships up there. But let me tell you, that's two really good football teams that are fixing to play. And, you know, we've got a situation where we're going to be out of town on Friday night. But I just about would tell you, if I could get to Jackson, I'd want to go watch that game because, wow, you talk about Jackson's probably got five or six Division I players, may have more than that. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the South. They got the best running back, I think, in the South. And they got an offensive line that that looks like the New York Giants.
Oh, I'm just telling goodness. You,
they are really, really good. And that defensive line is it's huge, too. That should be – we use the word slobber knocker a lot. But boy, you talking about being in Jackson, Alabama next Friday night to see two well-coached teams and two very talented teams. That should be a place that everybody wants to be. But there's going to be some other games, too. UMS Wright, the Sam Williams is making his debut against a St. Paul's team that is now – their defensive coordinator was the defensive coordinator at UMS Wright, and Jay Cozio knows all the players, but that's still going to be it's one heck of a game, Randy.
And speaking of which, we're going to be talking with Ham Barnett coming up in the next segment.
Yeah,
so.
And that game is something. I've been in a lot of rival games, but I'm telling you right now, and this one is not between the players. This one is between those mamas and daddies sitting in those stands that are one of the parents may have gone to UMS, another one may have gone to St. Paul's.
Right.
It's that way on both sides of the field. But that should be some outstanding. I'm really impressed with what Sam's doing at UMS Wright. And that's going to be a heck of a game. And then Saturday, you go to LAN or wherever we're playing it, Vigor and Blunt are going to kick it off. So that should be some. That's a big weekend, and you usually don't see that in the opening weekend. But Randy, let me put this in before we go. I said something about we lost an outstanding football coach last week in Birmingham, and Parker, one of their defensive coaches, Demetrius Beverly, was involved in a shooting, and unfortunately, Parker's staff lost Demetrius, and Frank Warren has done a great job there, winning the state championship at Parker High School last year with, I think, the best high school secondary I've ever seen. I mean, they all four or five of those kids are going to be Division I players, but I did want to mention Demetrius Beverly. Please be in prayer for him as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Coach, let me go ahead and set the table for this hour, and then we're going to go around the state talking about who's going to be playing on Thursday night and Friday night. In this hour, on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line, we will have Coach Ham Barnett, the head football coach for St. Paul's. He'll be up coming up in the next segment. And then we will, at 9:30, have Coach Zach Golson on, the head football coach for the Vikings of Mary G. Montgomery. He's a good one, too.
Yeah, he's part of that. I call it the Prattville connection. And, Randy, you know a lot about that. Your son played there at Prattville, was part of a state championship team. And, by the way, Randy, we were in Tracy and I were in Prattville Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, you know, I want to go around and see some of the places. I don't even recognize Prattville anymore.
Oh, it's grown up so much.
I didn't even know how to get to the stadium from Main Street.
Oh, my goodness.
So we did ride over to Stanley Jensen Stadium. My goodness gracious alive, Randy. I don't even recognize it. We used to, that little dressing room we used to have, gone. They got a beautiful new entrance there, and boy, that is some kind of facility. And you're talking about a tough place to play. Spence would never come there. He arrived 5 minutes. When Spence McCracken was at Lee, he would arrive 5 minutes before kickoff, and they would go straight to the field, pads on, flip the coin, let's play now. He didn't want to mess with any of that crowd. He just... That was something. So look forward to what all is going to go on. We're going to have a great football season, Randy.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And you're right. You go into Prattville, you better be prepared because it has always been tough. So, hey, all right, let's kind of go around here real quick. One of the games that will happen on Thursday night we'll be a part of, and we will be for the whole season, as Fairhope will travel, short little trip over to Spanish Fort to take on the Toros. You got 6A taking on 7A.
Yeah.
Fairhope's going to be – Fairhope's got a – Tim's done a great job with those Pirates. And it's going to be, it's always fun to watch the Pirates and Toros lock horns.
Yeah, you wait till you see that offensive line from Fairhope. They are going to be about as big as Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they got two or three kids on there that are already committed. They've got a defensive lineman that is already committed to become an offensive lineman. So Ricky Trickett, wow, who recruits this area for Jacksonville State, has come in, and they've got a commitment from a defensive lineman in Ricky Trickett. You got to know Coach Trickett. he is a fierce recruiter. But he said, son, we're recruiting you as an offensive lineman. And the kid said, I won't play for you, Coach. So that's going to be fun. But you're right. Tim Carter's done a great job with that at Fairhope program. Had a little down year last year, but they'll be back this year.
Coach, on Thursday night, one of the games locally, Bayshore Christian will take on Fruitdale High School. And J.C. Todd, his first year at Bayshore, of course, Coach Phil Lasby left there, went to UMS. Yep. And J.C. Todd, who was in that horrible accident years ago, that he was at Fairhope, at Daphne. And he takes that over. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, JC's kind of it's a tough situation, Randy, just to be honest with you, because what he's coming into is, and Phil Lazenby is the best. Yep. I mean, there's nobody that does quite the job Phil does, and I think JC's got his hands full. He was a middle school coach there, and of course he's increased the number of players that they've had, and it's going to be a tough situation to compete. Fruitdale will be pretty good. They will be pretty good, and the schedule he plays is, let's just say, it's daunting, to say the least. It is. But couldn't find, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He'll do a wonderful job. He'll minister to the children. It'll be a very faith-based football team, I can promise you. Of course, JC, he's a pretty good golfer too, Randy.
Yeah, he really is.
I think one of his goals is to play in this, what do they have, a handicap national golf tour or something?
Yep.
And he one day would like to do that after his kids.
He's good enough to do it.
Yeah, he is.
He's good enough to do it. Another one that will happen on Thursday night, Clark County will be at Flemington. Of course, Flemington won state championship several years ago. I'm looking down this list for Thursday, and there's quite a few games for Thursday night. But the one that's kind of grabbing me, Coach, is Hoover will play IMG Academy.
Yeah. Chip English took the took that tag that they put on him, and you know, he was the coach, what do they call it, when he was the interim coach, and they took that interim tag off and gave Chip the head coaching job. And Chip did a great job last year. He'll do a wonderful job this year. IMG Academy recruits nationwide, Randy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they don't get one or two star players. They get four and five star players and bring them in there, put them on, they pay for everything. And so they've got a lot of really outstanding players. But I'm going to tell you this about Chip English. The thing that you recognize about Chip is one of the most organized coaches that you'll ever be around. All three phases of that football team will be as good as they can be. Offensively, defensively, and special teams. Chip's got him a really outstanding staff there. Don't be surprised if Hoover wins that game, but don't be surprised if IMG wins it going away. I mean, it could be that kind of game.
Other than the ones that we've talked about, is there a game either Thursday night, Friday night, or even Saturday? You talked about the Vigor Blunt game that stands out to you.
Well, Vigor Blunt really stands out to me because you got new coaches in both situations, and Vigor anyway.
Yeah.
And so that's an intense rivalry, and that will be a shootout at the OK Corral. I mean that'll be a heck of a football game.
Well, a game coming up, we're going to talk to Coach Ham Barnett when we come back. Of course, he's a head football coach for St. Paul's. He's got a big one coming up too. We'll talk about that right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Glasser. He is he's on assignment. That's right. He's out catching us some food. Or at least I hope he is. Yeah. I hope he is for sure. You know, Coach, in NASCAR, they start their season out with a championship. The Daytona 500, right? For years and years, UMS Wright and St. Paul's had their basically the Battle of Old Shell Road championship, if you will, at the end of the season.
Right.
This year's reversed.
Yeah, it's been, I think, the last couple of years.
Yep.
Yeah, they're playing opening game of the season.
Absolutely. And let's talk about that. We do it with the head football coach for the St. Paul Saints, Coach Ham Barnett, on the line with us. Coach, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Ham, I appreciate you taking some time out, and I know, a lot of people, I never would say this when I was coaching about hay being in the barn, but it's pretty close to being in the barn right now as you've gone through preseason as you get ready to open a new season here, and after having a tremendous year last year, 9-3, and really, Ham, that surprised me. I had told somebody 8-4, or 8-2 regular season. I didn't know how good you would be, but you and your staff did a tremendous job with that football team last year, and certainly surprised some of us who think we know something and really don't. Just a great year. Talk just a little bit about this season and the expectations that y'all talked about as a staff coming into this season, maybe in May and June.
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew kind of last year we had something special, and that first game, winning kind of the way we did against UMS kind of set us up where we gained a lot of confidence, and then, we went on a, six-game winning streak right there to open the season. And but we felt like as a staff and as a group, we knew kind of we had a really, really experienced team, and we felt really good about it. I mean, I didn't think we'd go 9-3, like the experts thought too, but, it was a really good season for us. This year is a little bit different. We have, some of our best players coming back. Tank's coming back. Will Abrams is back. Anthony Frazier. So some of our, big pieces are back. But, a lot of our role players are going to be guys that, maybe have sat on the sidelines for 3 years but are seniors now and ready to go. And then, we have a huge sophomore class that's going to have to really step up this year and help us. And some of the improvements I've seen just in fall camp and throughout the summer was our offensive line, where I thought, starting 3 or 4 new guys on the offensive front was going to be a struggle, but they've really exceeded my expectations and had a really good fall camp so far.
Ham, I think one of the things that most people that know these programs, especially the two programs on Old Shell Road, is the question that they have is how is Coach Barnett going to handle turning over the defense to a Jake Ozio, who's an outstanding defensive coordinator? How does that help you do your job in a way which you feel like gives you kind of more latitude to be all around instead of trying to coordinate the defense as you have done for so long?
Well, in my opinion, Coach Ozio is the best in the state. And, when he came over here, we got to sit together and kind of go over our different philosophies on things, and there's a lot of similarities in the way we do the defense, but there's also some differences. So just meshing those and getting our kids comfortable with a new voice, I think that's the biggest thing, is me trying to take a step back and letting him kind of learn it and go through it and learn the players. And so at this point I feel very confident with where he is, and he's been a head coach too, and won plenty of state championships. So it's been easy for me to kind of give him the keys to the defense. And I loved having him on staff, and the way he's developed the relationships with the kids too has been phenomenal over the last few months.
I think that's one of the things that's pretty easy to recognize, is Jake Ozio always has a great relationship with those players. And I agree with you. I think he's one of the premier defensive minds in the state of Alabama, and it's just I know it's a breath of fresh air to get an equally impressive defensive-minded coach that you can share with and mesh your ideas with. I want to talk a little bit about your football team as a whole. I want you to talk a little bit about the leadership of the team, because I think that's so important, especially early in the year, to kind of set the tone. And I know you got a great player over there in Tank, and there's going to be a lot of kids that are seen as a result of coaches watching Tank on film, and I think that's always a plus for the school. But talk a little bit about those players that are going to be just super, super imperative for your team to be successful this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, so we do a team captainship deal, and where we get the players to vote on two team captains, and I had like 12 different players that were voted on by the team. So that says a lot about, you know, the kids seeing different guys as leaders. You know, our sophomore quarterback's got to step up this year, and he came in last year as a freshman, and the team just fell in love with him, you know, and this year will be his first year starting, and so I think he's going to be a leader on the offensive side. And William Strickland on the offensive line is a kid who's quiet but, you know, leads by example. It's been a program guy for us for the last, you know, 3 years. He's another kid that's going to lead that offensive side of the ball. And then, you know, Carson Stevens is a tight end who's going to be only a junior this year, but he's been a 2-year starter for us. And so I think there's plenty of leadership over there. But, you know, what something I've seen over the last, you know, 10 years in football too is the kids aren't as vocal as they used to be. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, phones and social media and, you know, them just being distracted by things. And that's just a fact. And so we find different ways to teach them how to lead. And we go to fall camp too and get away. And I take their phones from them pretty much for 3 days, and that's kind of where our team becomes a team, because they're forced to communicate with each other and hang out, and so that's something that we've done since I became head coach, and it's been phenomenal for our football program.
Oh, visiting St. Paul's head football coach Ham Barnett. Coach, we talked about Jay Cozio just a moment ago. Take a moment and talk about your coaching staff.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have Coach Tran, our offensive coordinator, been with me since I've been there, and he does a phenomenal job. A lot of things behind the scenes that people don't see. Coach Ryan Baxter is coaching our offensive line. He's been there forever at St. Paul's, and he's one of the best offensive line coaches, honestly, in the state, too. And then, you know, we got Jay Prosh is helping us with running backs this year, and he's somebody who was a phenomenal player at UMS and played college football at Illinois and Auburn and played for the Texans, and he's been amazing to watch him grow as a coach over these last few months as well. And we added another young guy to the defensive side of the ball and an old guy to the defensive side of the ball. David Stapleton's back with us helping with the DBs. So I'm no longer the oldest coach with Cozio and Stapleton on staff. And then Coach Reggie Bracey played for me in 19 at St. Paul's, and he just finished up his career and his degree. And he's back with us, helping us with the DBs, and he's been phenomenal as well. So, but I think we've got a great coaching staff, and there's a few other ones I hadn't mentioned, but I think we've got a really good staff that, you know, loves these players and loves football as well.
You're going to catch some flack now from Cozio and Stapleton. You're giving them kudos on age. That's a good one.
I tell them every day. I said it feels good to not be the oldest guy in this building anymore, because everything fell on me, and it still falls on me a little bit. But at least I have some older guys that I can lean on that have a lot of more experience than I do.
Coach, and I need you to do one thing. I need you to go to Stapes' desk and just – move everything. Move it around.
Oh, we do it. We do it every day.
That's good stuff.
He twirls his whistle a certain way on his desk, and we make sure we untwirl it before we leave every afternoon.
Attaboy. That's good stuff. Well, I know you're excited. I want to talk a little bit about this game, because I've said all along, we got about 2 minutes, Ham, and I've said all along, the players are the ones that are going to decide the game, but the rivalry is in the stands. It's between mamas and daddies who some went to UMS, some went to St. Paul's. They intermarry, and it just becomes a huge rivalry between mamas and daddies on this Friday night, and I know you want to stay completely out of all of that.
Yeah, it's hard to, because they keep coming to my office and asking me how we're going to do. So, and I get random text messages, and, you know, I have a sister who's St. Paul's graduate who's got a child on the team at UMS. And so it's different, but it's good. I mean, it's a good rivalry. It's one of the biggest rivalries I've ever been a part of. So there's just the difference this year is, you know, got a new coaching staff over there at UMS and unsure of really what all they're going to do and things like that. But it just comes down to who's going to play the hardest and who's going to give the best effort and execute on Friday night.
Ham, thank you so much for taking time out, and I appreciate the conversation we had earlier this week. And, you know, I am super excited about Jay being there and Jay Price. You got two guys that I really like a bunch, and especially love Jay Price. And I appreciate him being there and being there with you. Thank you for taking time to be with us. God bless. Take care, and we hope to talk to you soon, pal.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right, there you go. Ham Barnett, head ball coach for the Saints of St. Paul's. Jay Price, I remember calling his name quite a bit when I was doing UMS. He was a tough one, boy.
No,
I'm going to tell you. All right, we continue talking high school football. We do that with Mary Montgomery's head football coach, Zach Goldson. He's up next on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
It's good stuff.
Let that roll.
Babies in the running around, hanging with the crowd. Putting your business in the street, talking out loud.
Where is Mark when you need him? Where is Mark when you need him?
Mark's usually dancing when this
goes. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleland. Coach Mark Lassiter, he's out floating around. He's earning his keep by catching us some fish today. So we wish him the very best. Got a picture from him just a few moments ago, and where he is absolutely beautiful. So good for him. Hope he has much success. Hey, let's continue talking high school football. We do that with the Vikings of Mary Montgomery's head football coach, Zach Goldson. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us. It's here. We've been waiting on it, and it happens for you on Friday night.
Yes, sir. Good morning, guys. I appreciate it. Looking forward to game week. Like you said, it's finally here. We've had a great off season, and we're excited to kick off this Friday.
Coach, I hear the hoarseness in your voice. There is a formula for fixing that, and that is to have a coaches meeting and say, guys, I'm going to let y'all do all the hollering. I'll just holler at y'all. And you won't have to do much hollering with that staff that you've assembled there. I kind of want to start this off this morning by you going over that staff, because I really don't think that you guys and the staff you've assembled have really been given the credit that you deserve, because you have assembled one of the finest coaching staffs in the state. And that's a credit to your leadership. And talk just a little bit about those guys that you've got on staff, Coach.
I appreciate that. You know, it's funny you say that. I've said that a number of times in front of our players, in front of anybody that'll listen, that, you know, I really feel like we have one of the best group of men in the state of Alabama. And very thankful for them, the time that they are put into their craft, their families, for allowing them to sacrifice the way that they do. Alex Page is my defensive coordinator, assistant head coach. He has done a tremendous job in the last 3 years building our defense to be in a defense that is consistently in the top 5 and 7A. I can't say enough good things about him. He does a lot with our strength and conditioning, our speed program. He definitely has a pulse of our team. And then a huge asset, you know, right there is my right-hand man. Alongside him on defense, Ramel Jones, co-DC, D-line coach, Enrique Williams. Those three guys all played together at South Alabama. I think there's a chemistry that they have. The kids feed off of that. And they've done a tremendous job with our defense. Keith Jones, Travis Talden, and Kyle Klockner kind of round that group off. Defense. On offense, Andrew Reeves is my offensive coordinator. Came with me from Daphne. been with me now for, this will go on, going into his third year. He does a great job with our offense. He's coached every position in our offense besides O-line, and does a great job knowing our system, knowing how to manipulate our system, and just does a great job helping me with the offense. So, alongside him, Devin Crawford, Jacob Carter, our O-line coaches, they've done a great job. Devin's one of the best O-line guys in the business. Gets the most out of his guys, knows how to get us in and out of different schemes, and just really knows the O-line position well. They both played college football, O-line in college. Jacob Carter played at Faulkner, and Devin played at UNA. So really good ball coaches. Skylar Slagle coaches our tight ends. John Baxter coaches our running backs. We might have a little surprise returning to South Alabama. We may get a Kurt Page sighting here soon. So we're still working on that. He's still actually coaching over in Europe. He's coaching some professional football in Europe, and hopefully we might be able to see him soon. So he would be a huge asset, a shot in the arm if we can get him back down here. Another guy that we've added is Larry Rembert. Played for us at McGill, played wide receiver for us at McGill.
Yeah.
And played at Buffalo in West Florida. Was a part of those championship runs that we had at McGill. So our great coaching staff, you know, really fortunate to have the guys that are helping into our freshmen, into our middle school, and all the way down into our park league, man. A lot of good people that care about kids and love the game of football that are pouring into our kids. So,
you know, Zach, when we look at your season and from last year, you opened the season with a loss at Pace. And, you know, when I think about that, and you win 9 games in a row after that, talk just a little bit about what did you learn from that first game about this team last year that you felt like propelled you guys to go the distance and then get into the playoffs. How important was that Pace game for you last year?
Yeah, so I'm going to take it a step further back, and I wanted to make sure I said this, and this is probably the best time to say it, but all the kids that have come through our program the last 3 years, I can't say enough about the foundation that they laid for this group of kids that are about to play this year. And we didn't really talk about this a lot last year because we felt like that we had talent last year, but we were a young team. I think we started 16 or 17 under juniors. And so those guys return now. And I think that first game, you saw that, you know, a group of kids that were talented but weren't really, you know, fully experienced yet. And so Pace is a good team, a very good team. We went on the road into Florida and we lost in overtime. So we played some really good football, but couldn't quite get the win. If I'm honest, we look back at it and we talk about it, we did not have a great week of practice that week. And so those were things that we talked about as soon as that game ended, that we felt like we got fixed going into the next weeks. And that team grew tremendously all the way to the end. And we ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw with Vestavia Hills in the playoffs. But, you know, I think that we returned 16 or 17 starters, 19 or 20 of our current starting units on offense and defense are seniors, guys that have been a part of our program, experienced players. So the sky's the limit with this group.
Well, and you're right. And Randy has done some Pace games. Randy knows what kind of football they play over there. And we used to play them. We played them when we were at Daphne in the late, 80s and 90s. We played them, and they were very, very good. So I know what kind of football team that is. Talk about the leadership on this team coming from a young team that has now grown into a still young, but a much more mature and you know, got a lot of hours on the playing field, a lot of quarters behind them. Talk a little bit about the leadership of this team that you guys have really manifested going into the opening game this week.
Yes, it's a really special group. This is the group that was my first group when we got here 3 years ago. They were our first freshman class. And, you know, two of those kids, Shondell Harris and Devin Petway, started for us as freshmen. I think as sophomores, when we played in the semifinals against Phoenix City, 12-1 team, I think eight of these kids started for us that year. Last year, I think 16 of these seniors started for us, you know, on a 9-2 team. And so now this is it. And I think the thing that sticks out to me is they know this is the last ride for them, you know, and they've played a lot of football, you know, for us the last couple of years. And they're excited about, you know, what this last opportunity in high school and what it means to them. You know, they've poured a lot into it. And I think you're going to see a highly motivated, hungry football team next Friday.
Visiting with Coach Zach Golson, the head football coach for Mary G. Montgomery. Coach, as you look at it, and I'm looking at your schedule, and I got to be honest with you, I like the way that you've put the open at the end of the season. Talk about you got Pace, then you follow that with Gulf Shores, then you get into region play. Looks obviously a tough schedule you have ahead of you. This Pace game is going to be very important. Is there something special that we can look for in this Pace game to get the win?
Yeah, I mean, we got to play our brand of football. They're very good up front. They're big and physical. They like to run the ball. You know, it's a really big game for our guys to get off to a good start. We do have a tough schedule on the front end with Pace and Gulf Shores, and then Daphne is a tough region game. So we that's good, though. You know, these guys, it's helped motivate them through the off season. You know, I think that, like I said, they're ready. We've had a really, really strong winter workout, spring workout, summer workouts, and a great fall camp. So I feel as prepared as I've ever felt. Really do, and I think these kids are just ready to play. I'm excited to see them perform. So, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be good and bad. We're going to face some adversity, but, you know, we're going to handle it together and keep fighting together. And that's what we do. That's what we've done. That's what we're going to continue to do.
You know, Zach, we all appreciate you taking time out this morning and to talk about your football team. And I don't think there's any doubt that you guys have done it exactly the way you hoped it would pan out, because you're coming into the fourth year, and we've said all along it takes 4 years. It didn't take you guys 4 years, and with that staff that you've got, and that tickles me too that Kurt may be there. You're talking about you know, your defensive coordinator's uncle and a guy that played quarterback at Vanderbilt, successful guy, great guy, got great relationships with coaches and players. That is a huge, huge addition for you. So thank you for joining us this morning, and take care. God bless, and we'll talk to you soon, pal.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for everything y'all do, giving us the platform. Big thank you to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, man. So appreciate Amen. You guys, and talk to you soon.
All right, right there, Coach Zach Golson. Thank you again, Coach, and good luck against the Patriots of Pace. Coach Zach Golson, head football coach for the Vikings of Mary G. Montgomery. Coach, I like his schedule. I mean, I like the way they've got their schedule laid out. I don't know, as a coach, if you like playing 10 straight games, then take an open. Hopefully, you get that open before you go into a postseason.
Well, and I think that's the reason for that, may be that they felt like they were really worn out when they played Vestavia and Robert Evans in that playoff game. We knew how good Vestavia was. We knew that.
He's got a good schedule.
He does.
He's got a tough schedule.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take our final timeout. When we come back, Coach Rick Cleveland has got our Camp Grace segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, Randy, we use the leadership segment today to talk to head coaches and the job that is such a valuable job in so many kids' lives. wanted to take our face segment this morning and talk about seven daily exercises for coaches. And I use as a reference the FCA Bible that we get from Dennis Hayford. It's my favorite.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a really good one. We go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, and it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now, these are seven things that all coaches, doesn't matter if you're a head coach, a position coach, you should consider sharing these things with your players and your students on a daily basis. First one is to pray. No coach would ever go one day without discussing strategies, plays, or tips for improvement or game plans with his players and staff. So we must adopt the same attitude toward our players' lives and not approach any decision, day, or actual activity without first seeking God. And that's to pray with your kids. Read the Bible. Second thing, coaches expect players to be prepared for any situation that may confront them. And God expects the same of us. He wants us to read our spiritual playbook daily so that we are equipped to play the game of life. The third thing is to encourage someone daily. You know, as coaches, we tend to be corrective by nature. But when we're corrective, hopefully we can begin each day by searching out that one player, or maybe even a coworker or a friend who needs encouragement. Extend a word of kindness. Lend a listening ear. Offer advice from God's word. Or give testimony to the Lord's faithfulness. Often you'll receive a wonderful blessing in return. So encourage someone daily. Step back and look at the big picture. Coaching's a busy world, and in particularly during intense preparation, we often get caught up in the trivial matters. We need to remember that the main reason we're still on this earth is to glorify God and witness to others. So step back and look at the big picture and what it shows you. Remember your influence, coaches. As coaches, we have the opportunity to influence our players in ways way beyond the scope of our imagination. So focus daily, coaches, on allowing your influence to have a lasting impact that is pleasing to God. You want your players to remember you not only as a good coach, but as a good Christian. Reflect. Take at least 5 minutes at the end of each day to reflect. Focus on God's goodness and blessings. Ask forgiveness for sins committed and Christian actions omitted. And renew your commitment to serve God. And finally, each day, praise God. Never let a day go by without praising the one who allowed you to make it through another day. Worship God and thank him for his goodness. Randy, you know, this week we lost two outstanding coaches, really a third one when we talk about Demetrius Beverly from Parker. I think about when we first started coaching in 1978, Emma Sampson was a high school in Gadsden before they consolidated all the high schools there in Gadsden, or most of them anyway. They had a basketball coach named George Baker, and George Baker was a man of stature and a man who when he walked around, he was kind of humpbacked, but he was a man of faith and a man who was a tremendous, tremendous basketball coach. He had a player named Vern Strickland who went on and played at Auburn, a tremendous, tremendous basketball player. And I had the opportunity to speak with Vern maybe 10 years after he had finished at Auburn. And he told me, I said, Vern, tell me about Coach Baker. He said, Coach, let me tell you this about Coach Baker. Every day he would come in our practice, and before we practice, he would get on his knees and he would pray with each one of us. And he'd go around the room and put his hands on us and pray with us. You know, that made a difference in that kid's life, and those kids have never forgotten that. And that stood out to me. And then we lost another coach by the name of Wayne Prophet. Wayne played football at Auburn, and he coached at Auburn High School. And his father was also a coach. But Wayne Prophet was a man who did everything he could to make a difference in every child's life, spiritually and physically. and mentally. He was that kind of guy. And Wayne Prophet will always be remembered by those of us who knew him as a man who not only walked the walk, but he lived it every day with both his players and his coaches. And he was such a joy to always be around. And to lose those two guys in their 80s, both 85, 86 years old, and then along with losing Demetrius Beverly from Parker this week, it's been a tough week for coaches around the state. I hope that mamas and daddies and grandparents will pat those coaches on the back, because they're trying to make a difference, a positive difference in your children's lives. And when you look at Matthew 5:16, that's exactly what it talks about. It talks about encouragement. It talks about being the best we can be, not only in our profession, but more importantly in our spirituality. And when we lose those coaches like that, it brings back a lot of fond memories for those us older guys that had the sure honor to know those men. And I hope that if you get the opportunity, you'll go up to your coach and thank him for all he's doing to try to make a difference in every aspect of your children's lives.
Well, that's a good one right there, Coach. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, it has been a fast 2 hours. Great show today. Great show to have Zach Golson on, Ham, yep, Barnett on, Jeff Kelly on, Dennis Hayford on. So, yep, great show today. Got a big one coming up for you next, too.
Yeah.
We've got.
I see the cast of characters you got in here.
And I got two celebrities that are going to introduce those cast of characters.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So you won't want to miss that. All right. That's going to happen up in just about 10 minutes or so. So yeah.
I look forward to listening to that. You know what I look forward to? And I did this one day. Matt coming on and giving you your
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
Yeah.
I wouldn't that. And I couldn't walk it off. It just stays with me. It's so stinking good. I'm just telling you.
We've got a lot to get into. We're going to talk a little golf. We'll do that with a young man from Georgia, Arrowpoint Golf Club in Georgia.
Yep.
One of the top 10 public golf courses in the state of Georgia. MJ Wardingly is going to be on with us. We're going to have Bobby Hall on with us. We're going to talk a lot of SEC football as we get set for some college football. And, of course, Matt brings you in a little gift there, Rick.
Cajun seasoning, I'm going to tell you right now. Then we got Hall of Fame Moss Point guy over here. And you know what? Let me tell you this about Moss Point High School. Back in the day, as they like to say.
Well, that was many days ago, many moons ago.
But I'm talking about it's still been many moons ago when we played them one year in Northview and Dothan. We were real happy to get back on that bus and get out of there without anybody being physically mauled. Holy cow. And that was just the fan.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy, thank you for everything you do. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. Stay tuned to Southern Fairways. You don't want to miss this one, I can promise you. And then Jolene Roxbury at 4 o'clock today. You'll laugh till you can't laugh anymore.